Bette, on the train ride back from the conference, worked out a rough calculation of the energy shift that Lam had measured. He still did not have available really effective techniques to include the positrons and other effects of special relativity in this sort of calculation, and his work on the train followed pretty closely Oppenheimer's efforts 17 years earlier. The difference was that when Bette encountered an infinity, he now threw away the contributions to the energy shift from the emission and absorption of photons of high energy. Bette somewhat arbitrarily took the limit on photon energies to be the energy in the mass of the electron, and so he obtained a finite result, in fair agreement with Lamb's measurement. It was almost a calculation that Oppenheimer could have done in 1930, but it took the urgency of an experiment that needed to be explained and the encouragement of the ideas that were in the air at Shelter Island to get anyone to push the calculation through to completion. It was not long before physicists did more accurate calculations of the Lam shift that included positrons and other relativistic effects. The importance of these calculations was not so much that they obtained a more accurate result, but that the problem of infinities had been tamed. The infinities turned out to cancel, without having arbitrarily to throw away the contributions of high-energy virtual photons. As Nietzsche says, "What does not kill us makes us stronger." Quantum electrodynamics had almost been killed off by the problem of infinities, but had been saved by the idea of cancelling the infinities in a redefinition or renormalization of the electron mass and charge. But in order for the problem of infinities to be solved in this way, it is necessary that the infinities occur in calculations in only certain very limited ways, which is the case only for a limited class of specially simple quantum field theories. Such theories are called renormalizable. The simplest version of quantum electrodynamics is renormalizable in this sense, but any sort of small change in this theory would spoil this property and lead to a theory with infinities that could not be cancelled by a redefinition of the constants of the theory. Thus, this theory was not only mathematically satisfactory and in agreement with experiment, but it seemed to contain within itself an explanation of why it was the way it was. Any small change in the theory would lead not only to a disagreement with experiment, but to results that were totally absurd. Infinite answers to perfectly sensible questions. The 1948 calculations of the Lam shift were still terribly complicated because, although these calculations now included positrons, they gave the Lam shift as a sum of terms